produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Come on.
Chapter 21, beginning at verse number 18. Amen. I pray everyone heard that on the call and everyone heard that on Facebook. Gospel of John, chapter 21, beginning at verse number 18. And we're going to go down to verse 22. Amen. So, Gospel of John, chapter 21. Beginning at verse 18 down to verse 22. From the New International Version of our Holy Bible, it reads like this. Verily, very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Amen. Just for a little while, I want to tag this text. You're worried about the wrong thing. Amen. You worry about the wrong thing. Amen. Now y'all know that's my Vanderbilt educated voice here. So let me put it into my nomenclature. Amen. I'm 2021 millennial. You worry about the wrong thing. That's what we're going to talk about. You worry about the wrong thing. Amen. Thing about the Gospel of John, as I've always told you all, is that John is very clear that Jesus is God. And so he is high in what we call Christocentric. He is very Christocentric, and his meaning that Christ is at the center of everything. And so he wants his audience to understand and to take away and for them to believe, after they read everything that he has said, that Jesus Christ is God. That's it. That's the main thing. That's what he wants you to understand, that Jesus Christ is God. Now, the beautiful thing, too, I love about it is that when you read all the other Gospels, Minister Fondra, you'll find out, watch this, is that they all mention about Peter denying Jesus, but they never clean up what he messed up. None of the synoptics do. They don't clean up the fact that he betrayed, the fact that he denied Jesus three times. As a matter of fact, it always ends with him hearing the rooster, hearing the cock crow, and he looks and he knows what he has done, but there is never a moment that they actually say that Peter cleaned up his mess. Not one time. Until we get to the Gospel of John. But John, it's important because John is writing. You got to understand that the writer of this gospel is believed to be the beloved apostle John, right? The one who wrote Revelation, right? That this John is an old man, and he understands that Peter, watch this, that Peter has become the head of the church, and he realizes he's got to clean up his friend's mess up. He's got to be able to try and bring some conclusion to what Peter has done, the denials that Peter has made, so he knows that he's got to help out his friend. Can I pause right there to help somebody? Is that my brothers and my sisters? Is that you know that you have a really good friend when your friend doesn't make fun of you when you fall, when your friend does not walk away from you when you fall, but a true friend, first of all, won't sit up there and let you stay in the mess that you're doing, but a real friend is going to tell you the truth. The real friend is going to tell you when your stuff stank. Your real friend is going to let you know when your slit is showing. Your real friend is going to let you know when you're about to make a fool of yourself. A real friend is not going to sit up there and just enjoy all the good stuff. But no, a true friend is going to tell the truth no matter what. But not only that, but a real friend that when you mess up, they don't walk away from you, but a real friend will try and help you get back on your feet. A whole lot of us call folks our friend. Matter of fact, we got it on Facebook. I wish they changed that title. Because I know I don't have 2,000 friends. I know some of y'all don't have, y'all got 1,000 friends. God bless you. No. I realize I may have 5 good friends, and maybe the rest of everybody else just want to be connected. Real friend will stay by your side no matter what. But not only that, but I love what John does too, is that John says that if Jesus is God, he's not going to let Peter stay that way. Oh, can I help somebody real quick? Is that somebody in here ought to thank God that Jesus cleans you up, that Jesus turned your life around? It ought to be some people out there who ought to be glad that the Lord didn't let you stay where you were when you were stinking in sin, when you were hung up, when you were all messed up. You ought to be glad that you had a friend like Jesus who picked you up wherever you were when you were in Sorrow's Valley, when you were on
skin raw with you? What rope broke, busted, and disgusted with you? What kicked out with you? Didn't have a dime to your name with you? Didn't finish your education with you? Had all those children to take care of, and the daddy was nowhere around with you? Didn't have anything going on for yourself when your self-esteem was low, when your confidence was shot. Jesus came and picked you up and turned you around. And that's the thing I love about the Lord, is that the Lord won't let you stay the way that you are. But instead, the Lord will shape you. The Lord will clean you up. Is there anybody who's grateful today? If you ain't got nothing else to be grateful for on the day, you can be grateful for Jesus. You can thank God that Jesus still looks after you. Now, here we go. Thing I love, too, about this scene, right, is that Jesus is on the beach, and he's got a campfire set up. Now, what's so interesting is that that Greek phrase about the campfire, about a fire being set up, the other time that it's repeated is when Peter denies Jesus. You got to realize, Peter denied Jesus by the fire, by a fireside. And so what does Jesus do? Is that Jesus takes him back to the scene of the crime. Jesus says to him, basically, I know what you did, I know where you did it, so let's go back to where it happened. See, my brothers and my sisters, sometimes the Lord has to bring you back in order to get you right. Let me say that one more time. Sometimes the Lord has to bring you back in order to get you right. Meaning, sometimes the Lord has to bring you back to the place, even when you were at your lowest, even when you were at your worst. The Lord sometimes has to bring you back, because sometimes we get too high and mighty. Sometimes we get too much money. Sometimes we get too much status. Sometimes we forget where we come from. But every now and then, the Lord has to remind you where you come from and how much I've done for you. See, my brothers and my sisters, there's no problem with looking back, but don't get stuck in back. But instead, you should look back and be able to say, thank you, Jesus, for where I come from. Thank you for the lessons I've learned. Thank you for the trouble that I saw back there. Because now, when I walk by there, now, when I drive by there, now, when I see that Negro, now, when I see her, I don't get discouraged, but instead I shout, because Lord, you brought me over. You delivered me. I don't know who I'm talking to on today, but my brothers and my sisters, don't be afraid when the Lord has to bring you back to where you messed up. Because the Lord sometimes has to remind you that, hey, in order for you to get right, I got to bring you back and bring you to remembrance, and so that you won't make the same mistake again. Love what he does. Right? Jesus asked Peter three times, does he love him? In order to erase the three denials. And the thing I love that the Lord does is that in order to erase the denials, Jesus uses love. Okay. See, my brothers and my sisters, Jesus doesn't ask him, why did you deny me? He just asked him, do you love me? Why? Because love is to erase all of the ills. Love erases all of the doubts. Love erases all of the problems. That's what Jesus uses to embrace Peter back into the fold, is that he uses love. And my brothers and my sisters, on today, our world needs more love. Our world needs more people to be loving than to be hatred. We've got hatred in the United States Congress. A woman who denies and tells people who've been victims of school shootings that it was a hoax, that they didn't really be killed by people who had assault rifles. You've got people who are afraid to even leave and walk through their offices and be sitting next to sitting U.S. congressmen. We've got people who are afraid to go outside of the house at night because they're worried about their neighborhoods being a war zone. We've got people who are sitting there who are our neighbors that deny that that a legit and legal election took place, but instead have hatred in their hearts for the country, hatred in their hearts for the new president. But I'm here today to let somebody know that the best way to erase all kinds of evil is with love. And the best way to have love is to have love in your heart. And our world needs more love, but it is not love, but love without justice is abuse. I'm not saying just love folk any kind of, just love them. No. Hold them accountable. Because real love holds people accountable for the way in which you hurt me. Now, thing I love about Peter too is that the Bible says in Luke, when you read Luke's gospel and you read Mark's gospel, you will find that when Peter got asked the third time, "Do you know Jesus?" "Yeah, you were with him," he starts cussing. Yep. But now on this third time, instead of cussing, he's crying. My Lord, the Lord has a way of bringing you to your knees. The Lord has a way of making you submit. The Lord has a way of touching you. And it ought to be somebody's testimony here today who knows that the Lord brought you from a mighty long way. Is that the stuff that you used to cuss about, now you pray about. The stuff that you used to stomp and be mad about and have your blood pressure rise, now you go and meditate. The stuff that used to make you cry, now you laugh at. The stuff that used to burn you up on the inside, now you find joy, unspeakable joy when you think about it. And what happened is that the Lord came in. Turn it around. Now here we go. All right, I'm almost through. He tells him that if you love me, I need you to do these things. Now, here's the thing. He does not tell him, because you say you love me, I need you to prove that you love me by feeding my sheep and feeding my lambs. No. The Lord's not asking him to prove that he loves him, but instead he's asking him to exemplify the love that he says he has for him by feeding his sheep. How do you mean, Reverend? Because, my brothers and my sisters, it's not easy just to feed sheep. You can't go out there and have, you can't go to the grocery store and buy sheep food. Ain't like feeding a dog and feeding some chickens, right? You know, when you feed chickens, you take the corn, you take whatever is need to feed chickens, you just throw it and you cast it out, you scatter it out, right? You're feeding hogs, you take all the slop and you throw it into a slop bucket and let the hogs come in and eat. And yeah. You're feeding cows, you know, it's not easy, you know, you just let the cows out and let them go out to pasture, right? And so it's feeding the dog, you just put the puppy chow, put the whatever the dog food is, you put it in the bowl. If you were my grandmama, you take whatever you didn't eat that night and you put it in the bowl for the dog. And hey, hello somebody, don't act like you didn't have that grandmama too. Now, if you got a cat, you just open a can of tuna or some cat food and you put it out there for the cat to eat. But no, you can't feed sheep like that. Mm-mm. No. You have to lead sheep to the pasture. You've got to take sheep. And the thing is, you just can't leave the sheep to eat by themselves. No. You got to stay with the sheep. You, because when the sheep are eating, they're vulnerable because they're out in an open area. And so it's easy for the prey to come and get the sheep. So when you feed the sheep, you got to eat with the sheep. You got to sleep with the sheep. And if you eat with the sheep, then you know that the sheep are, hello somebody, they're not just eating, but they're letting it out too. So not only that, but not only are you eating with the sheep, but now you're going to smell like the sheep. Y'all follow me in here? Y'all follow me out there? Is that, my brothers and my sisters, what Jesus was asking him to do is that, look, I need you to become one with the sheep, meaning that you're going to get some sheep stank on you, meaning that you're going to have to protect them from the wolves and the bears. You got to lead the sheep. You can't leave them alone. No. What he's asking him is not easy. And a whole lot of us, the Lord's asking us to do too, is that the Lord wants us to stay with folk and to be with people even when they aren't in the best condition. Even when they can't see it, you still got to love them. You still got to stay with them, because true love says, I'm going to be with you no matter what comes, no matter what comes my way, no matter what dangers I see, I'm going to be with you. Now, he's done well thus far, right? And so what does the Lord tell him? He tells him, look, man, I want you to understand something. Is that when you were younger, you could go where you wanted to. You kick it. Hey, do your thing. But when you get old, somebody going to have to do all this stuff for you. Somebody going to have to tie your belt. Somebody is going to have to do these things for you. Now, this is an aside from what Jesus was telling him. He's telling him that when you're going to get older, this is the way in which you're going to die, meaning that you're going to die with your hands tied up, right? You're going to die by crucifixion like me. That's what he's telling him. That's literally what he's telling him. But the thing is, I love about the scripture is that scripture is left for open for interpretation. And so what is happening, and for the message that I have for Gospel Temple, is because we are a multi-generational church. Really, we're two generations, old and young. Hello, somebody. So here we are. We're standing in between those kinds of generations. And so what is you're trying to let me know is that, my brothers and my sisters, enjoy your youth, but realize that one day you're going to get old. If you live long enough, you live a well enough, long enough life, you're going to get old. Yeah. But I'm glad Sister Liz Tyson showed me something about getting old, is that you don't have to get old and not be able. Hello, somebody. You don't have to be old and still have a mindset of old. My daddy used to always say, my daddy says this because his pastor says, you spell old, A-D-L-E, as long as you're able, you ain't old. But one day we're going to get old, but instead of wanting to grow old and to be dependent upon somebody for everything, I want to grow old gracefully. Yeah, you may have to help me out the shower every now and then, but no, I want to grow old to where I know that I can grow old gracefully and the Lord will bless me. But the thing is, I've got to take care of myself now so that I can grow old gracefully. How you treat people, how you treat your body, how you treat each other. I'm a firm believer that what you sow, you will reap. Thank you, Cicely Tyson, for showing us how to grow old, still be cool, still be regal, and still carry yourself. Now, getting back to Peter. Here we go. I know this is what y'all came for. Because this is where the crux of the message is. Here's Peter. After the Lord told him, you're going to grow old, and eventually you're going to die, but follow me. He missed all of that. He missed the follow me portion. Because then he started looking around at John, who's the beloved disciple. And like all of us do, after we get some news about us, and how we going to suffer and how we going to go through. But what about him? What's going to happen to him? What's going to happen to her? No, the Lord talking to you. Peter always had this problem of worrying about somebody else. And a whole lot of us are like that too. Is that we start to worry about other folks when the Lord is talking to us. We worry because we see our contemporaries and we see them there. They seem to be profiting and they ain't in church. They ain't studying the Lord. And Lord, but you telling me I got to go through this. What about them? I'm doing right and catching hell and they going wrong and successful. What about them? I'm just going to use you an example, Pound Cake. Because you're standing right in front of me, so the Lord said, use you. You out here doing step into the live every day. people, but yet you got other comedians who are vulgar, who are insulting, who don't care nothing about nobody, and yet they making more. What about them? They don't have your discipline. They don't have your work ethic. They don't have your commitment to excellence, but yet here they are, they making more money. What about them? We all get like that every now and then. Just keep it real and stay honest. We all get sidetracked because we don't be able to have blinders on. We start looking around. But that's the reason why, thank you, Holy Ghost, is that whenever you watch the Kentucky Derby, Preakness, or the Belmont Stakes, you watch those horses when they're running, and they're running in a race, they have blinders on, which means that way they can focus on what's ahead and not what's around them, which means they can run their race and stop worrying about, are they going to beat the horse next to them? Instead, they have laser focus so that they can stay in that lane and run their race. And that, don't you know, my brothers and my sisters, that's what the Lord is trying to tell somebody on the day. You've got to run the race that has been set before you. You've got to do what the Lord has called you to do. Quit worrying about John Larry. Quit worrying about Sister Sue. Quit worrying about what everybody else got going on. Do what the Lord has for you, because you missed trying to get to the finish line worrying about who's in the other lane. The Lord gave Peter an assignment. But he's too busy worried about somebody else completing an assignment. I've come to let somebody know. The more you start to work for you and do what's right for you, the more the Lord will bless you, and the more the Lord will enhance you, and the more the Lord will get you closer to your goal. And the thing is that your race is just that. It's your race. But the good thing is that you ought to be glad to know that you don't have to run the race alone, because Hebrews tells us that we are so encompassed by so great a cloud of witnesses, meaning that you got grandmama, great-grandmama, uncles, aunts, ancestors that are up there in heaven pushing you on, telling you, come on, boy, you can do it, girl. Yeah, you fell down, but you can get back up again. Keep on going. And if you ain't got nobody else, that's the reason why you're part of body believers, because you got people around you that want you to finish. I'm done. Last thing. Thing I love that Jesus does too is that he tells him, don't worry about what I got for him. Follow me. That's a word right there. Because when you're worried about the wrong thing, the good thing is you miss the word that Jesus said, that here it is. I told you Peter messed up. Jesus told him, follow me, and he started worrying about who was following Jesus. He missed follow me, so Jesus had to tell him again, don't worry about what I got for him. You follow me. And the thing is, a lot of us miss the shout. This is the shout in the text right here. This is what got me. This is what really blessed me, is that he said, you follow me. I said, Lord, where's the shout? I really need to celebrate, because, hey, I'm a preacher. I got to be able to find a way to celebrate. I got to find a way to get to the exit. I got to be able to push people so that they leave out knowing that they can celebrate you, and we can celebrate something about you. He said, here's the celebration. Follow me. I said, what you mean follow you? How is that celebration? He said, because if you're following me, that means I'm in front of you. And if I'm in front of you, that means I'm with you. Okay, let me say that one more time. That if you're following me, that means I have not left you. Hello, somebody. My brothers and my sisters, this is the shout right here, is that no matter where you go, no matter what you travel, no matter what you got to go through, no matter the pain, no matter what you have to deal with from your youth, your middle age, your old age, is that if the Lord has assigned you, if the Lord has instructed you, the good thing is that he's saying that if you follow him, he's going to be there. So it doesn't matter. Let the winds blow. Let the fires come. Let the floods come. Let the hills, let the valleys, let the wolves, let the bears, let the devil, because as long as he's in front of me, I know that everything is going to be all right. Is there anybody out there today who knows the good God Almighty, that the Lord will always stay with you? Matter of fact, the song says it like this, that said, if you walk by faith and not by sight, if you just promise to live and walk upright, you'll never have to walk alone. Never have to walk alone. Is there anybody who's glad to know that you don't have to walk alone because he's with you? I'm done. Last thing. Is that the message that Jesus has for John and for Peter? We can go home on this, y'all. And I'm done. Is that he tells John and he tells Peter that if he stays until I come back, that's my business. Good God from on high. Is that the Lord basically tells Peter, mind your business. Stay out of mine. And realize, Peter, when I say that, I'm trying to let you know that I'm in control. And I'm gone when I tell my control freaks this. Because a whole lot of us, I'm guilty of this, of being a control freak. We want everything in our control. But I'm here today to let you know, my brothers and my sisters, is that when you actually look at things and you start to look at your life, is that you ought to be glad that God is still in control. You ought to be glad that the Lord has a way of releasing you from some control in your life. Because if you had it your way, the stuff that you wanted to get and where you wanted to get in life probably was not the way that you wanted, that you should have gone. You probably would have stepped on some people. You probably would have hurt some feelings. You probably would have scandalized your reputation. And so you started worrying about, are you ever going to get there? But the Lord says, no, no, stop worrying about it. Stop wanting to be in control of everything. But give it over to me and let me work it out. That's what he was trying to tell Peter, is that, Peter, I'm in control. Peter, I've got a path for you. And Peter, I've got a path for him. All you have to do is just follow me. And that's all I want somebody to know today. It's that you got to let go and let God take control. And I'm here today to let somebody know that when you put it in his hands, he'll make everything all right. Is there anybody who can celebrate God with me who knows that when the Lord takes control, he'll turn everything around. He'll make it so that you'll go higher than you ever did before. He'll make so that you'll be richer than you ever were before. Is there anybody who can thank God on today that the Lord has the last word? Anybody glad that he's got the last say so? Anybody glad that when they said you couldn't, that wasn't the last word? When they said you wouldn't, that wasn't the last word? When they said they didn't see it, that wasn't the last word. But good God Almighty, I'm glad God has the last word. Say, yeah, yeah, he's got the last word. One Friday, he had the last word. Sin said I was going to die, but he had the last word. He said, instead, you're going to live and not die. He died, but I.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.